What, you dare me
what,
to make
you,
it about
dare
feminism?
Me to make it about feminism?
Because I can make it about
because
feminism.
I can make it about feminism.
You are now listening you to the Feminist Bar Podcast. Feminist Bar Podcast.
Welcome to the Feminist Bar Podcast with your host, Tina Tsuemaka. Thank you for tuning in to this little mini episode of me talking about the shit that I am passionate about. And yeah, that we are all passionate about here, I guess. Because if you listen to this podcast, there's a little bit of unhinged feminist in you. And I love that for us. So yeah, thank you for tuning in. I want to start by apologizing for not uploading the episodes last week and the week before that. I was really, really busy. And I'm about to tell you guys why. We're about to just get into a new era of the Feminist Bar, but we recently got a grant, yay, to do some more storytelling, which, you know, I really love to do. And we're going to be doing that using this podcast. So, I mean, I know that you guys love stories, of course, because you be submitting some stories, you be sharing some stories. Your lives are super spicy, super interesting. Love that for you. We're going to be doing some of that. It will be themed around the safety and security of queer girls and non-binary folk, and just thinking about what does safety mean to us, the way that we are interacting with safety and violence on a daily basis, the way that we can strategize towards some of that, and really preparing for researching, filling the research gaps around what our experiences with violence are. And from documenting those experiences, archiving those experiences, being able to come up with solutions for the violence that we're already facing. And again, just in preparation of everything that the anti-rights movement has in store for us, because as we know, we are out-organized, we are out-funded, we are out-resourced, out-strategized, everything. So it's really important for us to strategize together and just come together and talk about stuff and realize new things among us, like knowledge exchange, and then using some of that information to bring out to the world, to bring to the attention of people who might not know about stuff, or to strengthen the knowledge of those who already know it, to spread that information, because information is power. So, you know, as outnumbered as we are, we got to just do our best. So yeah, that's something that I'm going to be announcing soon. So if you are in Zimbabwe, if you are in Harare, or if you are in Bulawayo, it doesn't matter where you are, you can also do it virtually, but the people that are in Harare and Bulawayo will be able to participate physically in person. And we're going to be doing some story circles, just coming together and talking about those things that I've mentioned. And I'll talk a little bit more about the grant and the project itself once everything is done. I don't want to name drop the funders, if maybe that's not what they want, but yeah, if they do want to be name dropped, we'll also definitely have them on the podcast, talk about what they're funding and what they're working on, and what their passions are. Oh my goodness, I'm so hyped today. I'm just tripping over my words. But yeah, maybe we'll have them come on here. And you know, since a lot of you are even in the feminist space, a lot of you are activists, a lot of you are people who are interested in this work, or passionate about this work, doing this work in your own countries, maybe this is where you'll, you know, find out about a funder that's perfect for you. And that would be really, 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 really fucking cool. So that's some of the stuff that's been going on. Additionally, something that's also happening physically here in Zimbabwe is, if you're queer and you have a nice summer night to spare, you can come spend it with us, because we're going to be hosting an outdoor queer movie marathon here in Harare in November. So you can check that out on the Feminist Voices Zimbabwe page. And yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time. Come through. We're just going to watch gay shit, and we're just going to be happy, and we're going to embrace queer joy, and we're just going to have our safe space, come as we are, be as we are, you know, get your dates, figure out your crush, ask them out, you know, get your squad, get your friends, even come alone. It doesn't matter. Like, we're going to make sure that it is an amazing time. I will personally be making sure of that. So, yeah, like, that's what's been going on. Other than that, I really came on this episode today to tell you guys about some of the stuff that's going on in the world. As I mentioned, I just feel like I need more outlets where we can just read feminist and queer news specifically. And since we're not really getting that, I guess I'll do that to the extent that I can. And that's, you know, to the extent that I dedicate like my time to like sifting through news stuff, which I guess I'm already doing to an extent. So here I am. Let's talk about what's been going on. We're gonna have to start with pop culture because bad bitches love Nicki Minaj. Bad bitches love Nicki Minaj. Bad bitches loved Nicki Minaj. Some bad bitches don't love Nicki Minaj no more. A lot of bad bitches don't love Nicki Minaj no more. Let's just talk about everything that's happened. Okay, so maybe you're hearing this for the first time if you live under a rock. I'm kidding, you don't live under a rock, but wow. So maybe you're hearing this for the first time, but a couple of years ago, Nicki Minaj married Kenneth Petty, had a baby with Kenneth Petty. That's her man, that's her boo. And this is a man who is a sex offender. He was convicted of brutally sexually assaulting a girl when she was 15 and he was 16 at knife point. And thereafter, he also was then convicted for murder or something like that. So upon his release, that's when him and Nicki got together and that's when they got married. So a little bit after that, because there was a lot of legal stuff still going on with the sexual assault case, this was all over the news, blah, blah, blah. And this woman that had been sexually assaulted by Nicki's husband came forward to talk about how she was being harassed by the couple and by their people and by people that they would pay and send to them, by their goons, basically, like, and their shooters, to intimidate her, get her to withdraw her statement, intimidate her family, just basically reduce her quality of life, pique her anxiety, playing mind games with her, bribing her one day, but sending people to try and intimidate her the next, sending threatening messages, having people call her, follow her, just basically trying to get her to back down and retract. In addition to this, at some point, Nicki Minaj was on Instagram in comments basically saying that, oh, she's just like some white woman who's like lying about like being sexually assaulted. Like, that was the insinuation of the comment. And she just basically had like barbs harass this person, etc, etc, etc. So it's been a lot of like problematic stuff. So most recently, you know, as we all know, Nicki Minaj and Cardi B have beef. What basically happened is her husband was then caught on camera making threats of violence to Cardi B's husband, etc. And obviously, because the internet is petty, somebody called that in and he got like house arrest or whatever. So a lot of stuff has been happening. Like, Nicki Minaj lost a lot of followers. She's been losing a lot of followers on Instagram. She's been getting heavily criticized for, I guess, her choice in men and everything that she did and the way that she played a hand in intimidating someone who had been sexually assaulted by peddling the fact that this person was lying and that, you know, by basically threatening this person's like physical health and life. And people just being like, you know, that's really crazy. And something that is interesting to me around this is how, I'm going to speak for myself. Everything that I'm saying, I'm speaking for myself. I don't think it should be anyone else's standard. I'd be really interested to hear what other people think, because I struggle very much when an artist is accused of things that I think are like sick and twisted to continue listening to that person, right? A lot of it just feels like, okay, first of all, I don't want you to continue to profit off of like me and my little coin or like me and my little Spotify stream. Because you're a terrible person, right? So we should actually be mobilizing away from you and not toward you. And secondly, I think just as a feminist and then as someone like, you know, in feminist practice and someone who has helped, assisted, and constantly speaks to, is in communication with and supporting survivors of, you know, sexual assault and just like the violence of patriarchy, I just feel so guilty and I feel like a hypocrite, right? At the same time, especially using social media apps like TikTok, I have really struggled to distance myself from like certain things. Like, it's not like I'm not going to know that there's a song out and suddenly like it's in my head. Do you know what I mean? Like silly little like happenings of life like that. But a lot of people would say that, hey, like, listen, I'm already, you know, I'm already serving my soup at the soup kitchen. I'm going to listen to some Nicki Minaj. I'm going to listen to some so-and-so. I'm going to listen to some so-and-so. And it just also then begs the question of like, huh, so like, where do we draw a line? Like, at what point do our favorite artists stop being our favorite artists at all? Like, at what point do we just say, you know what, this person is too problematic and this person has caused too much harm that I just can't listen to this anymore? I know that it's easier for people when they hear about like these very like violent and very terrible and disgusting crimes, you know, we're talking about like R. Kelly, like Bill Cosby, for them to be like, no, like, I don't fuck with that person anymore. Don't talk about that person. That person got what they deserved. We're not going to stream this person. All of that music was not even coming from a good place. Fuck that. Stop. Right. But then you have people like Chris Brown, for example, who apparently, according to their fans, make good music to the point that after a couple of years, the shock and disapproval of them being a violent abuser wears off and people just get back into listening to that person again. And, or I don't know, just disassociate from anything that is gossip or news, whatever, about the artist, so they never know what the artists are actually like. I don't know. I'm really interested to hear what you guys think, because I know that over here, all of us here are feminists and we want that to also show like in our everyday lives. And, you know, I wouldn't watch a movie, for example, with like Kevin Spacey, knowing that like he sexually assaulted like all of those young boys, right? So what is like, what is the difference between like that and maybe like a musical artist who has also been accused of sexual assault or whatever or whatever? And maybe your line is racism, maybe your line is texturism, maybe your line is colorism, like I don't know, like maybe your line is fat phobia. So I'm just interested to know like the different ways that we decide like what is okay in our lives and what is not. Or maybe some of us are just living like, yo, life is hard enough, like I'm not gonna spend my time sifting through like different music so that that's this and this and this. But it's also like there's also like a million artists out there, you know what I mean? Like, so is that just like a cop-out? Is that just an excuse? Yeah, like what is our role as a community, yeah, in the way that we sustain like the fame and wealth of people who do bad? Because yeah, literally, like, think of all of the men who have been accused of sexual assault and all of them are still famous. Wasn't, like, Johnny Depp in a fucking, like, Gucci, Balenciaga? Was it Balenciaga? One, it was, like, some luxury brand, like, recently. And I just thought, wow, ain't that nice. So, yeah, I've just been thinking a little bit about that. And what does it then mean, right? Because usually by like people's standards of like the content they consume, the music, the art, the film that they consume, there are demographics of people who, when you see them just very passionately stick by an artist or an actor and vigorously defend them as if they personally know them, that group of people is not like, those are not good people. Do you know what I mean? Like Johnny Depp stans are not good people. Barbs are not good people. They like swat people, like they just like dox people online, like weird shit, right? So what does it then also mean to belong to a certain group that just is like really like fucking toxic? Can you really separate that, right? Can you separate yourself from a community of terrible people? Like, everyone who listens to this artist is a raging racist because the artist apparently is a raging racist. Can you belong to that community? Like, I don't know. Or maybe it's not that serious. Again, like, I could be like going like on and on discoursing something that a lot of people think is not that serious. But these are things that I think about, and I would like to know if other people also think about them. So yeah, that's what's been going on in the world of like pop culture that has been interesting to me and brought up some, I guess, some ethics and everyday life questions for me. And something that I then thought was interesting, because when I was deciding to do this episode and thinking about the different news things I wanted to talk about, I then was reading about a football fan being banned from the Leeds Stadium because of homophobic comments and homophobic symbols that they were making with their hands, blah, 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 blah. And I thought to myself, fuck, like, this happens a lot with football. Like, you're always hearing about like people getting banned for being super racist, people mobilizing some kind of like racial slurs, people being like super transphobic, super homophobic. And yet like sport is such a tight-knit community. And maybe that is something that shows the ability of people to enjoy and embrace something without necessarily embracing the ideals. Because I mean, things are not black and white. Do you know what I mean? So I just thought that was interesting, like considering what I'm thinking around the pop culture and Nicki Minaj thing and this. But yeah. So I mean, maybe let's get into some good news, which is that this week, the Hong Kong court, I think it was the Supreme Court, granted parental rights to a queer couple and recognized both of them as the mothers. So up until now, only one person, if you were a queer couple, could register as the parent of a child. And this queer couple basically flew to South Africa, got IVF done, I guess because it's cheaper here or it's more accessible. I'm not sure about like the SRHR access on that part of the world. And yeah, so when they went back with their kid, only one of them could register as the mom. So they basically took this to court to challenge this as like unconstitutional on the grounds of discrimination. And the court actually found that this was on the grounds of discrimination of the child. And I think that's very interesting. I didn't read the judgment, so I don't know if it necessarily touches on that because this was just a summary. But I would be interested to know if the discrimination was only based on like the child as like a children's rights, kind of like interest of the child come first situation, and not so much a discrimination on the grounds of sexual orientation. So that would be interesting. And yes, there would be a difference between that because, I mean, children's rights are less contentious than sexuality rights. So it would kind of be a cop-out, I guess, on their part if that was not the case. But anyway, yeah, so that is some of like the feminist news that I also saw this week. And oh my goodness, Russell Brand sexual allegations. Are we surprised? I'm not surprised because I don't get surprised anymore when people get accused of like sexual assault. I just, and then he made a video which just seemed guilty as fuck. So Russell Brand, I don't know, what did he act in? Get him to the Greek? Yeah. With Jonah Hill. That set needed some fucking safeguarding. Anyway, so yeah, Russell Brand has been accused by four women of sexual assault between the years of 2006 and 2013. And one of them is 16 years old. Mind you, at the time that she says that this happened, he was like 35 or 36. So yeah, he's a sick fuck. So I am interested to see how this plays out. Not so much interested, but just anxious and already like disappointed in advance, just because we have seen how some of these things have played out in the last couple of years with the regression of women's rights especially in mainstream spaces such as like Western countries, because I mean, in Africa, I'm gonna say we've been in the ghetto. But yeah, so that's all I got. Thank you for tuning in, and I'm about to give you an episode, so be on the lookout for that. What else? I don't think there's anything else to talk about, other than the fact that, yeah, as a Zimbabwean, I'm currently playing pin the tail on the country so that I can find one and get the hell out of here. So yeah, thank you for tuning in, and I will catch you in the next episode of the Feminist Bar Podcast. That's a wrap.